House Committee on Judiciary Full Committee hearing, May 10th, 1991, 1 p.m., here in room 357.
Call the committee, full Judiciary Committee to order. Today on the agenda, work sessions, House Bills 2374, 2586, 2802, 2721, Senate Bill 426, Senate Bill 372, House Bills 2935, 3111, 2667, 3456, 3493, 3224, Senate Bill 61, Senate Bill 1006, House Bills 2788, 3154, 3492, 3444, 3448, 2577.
Can you say that again?
No.
Holly, or Kathy will read that back for you. With that, I'd like to open the work session on House Bill 2374. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2374 is to assist the state court administrator verify whether criminal defendants are poor enough to get court-appointed lawyers. It requires financial institutions to provide a criminal defendant's account balance to the state court administrator. The principal issue before the subcommittee was how much of this information to be able to use in other kinds of proceedings. The original bill limited the use of this information simply to determining indigency. However, the subcommittee expanded that. So, for example, the information about an account balance can be used to help collect a fine that may be imposed in the case. It would be appropriate for the committee to move the dash one amendments.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson?
Moves the dash one amendments.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson moves the dash one amendments, House Bill 2374. Discussion on the amendments. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Edmondson, motion. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2374 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk, call roll. House Bill 2374.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Mazzari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2374 is passed to the floor. Representative Mason will be asked to carry the bill. Close work session. House Bill 2374. Open work session. House Bill 2586. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2586 is the bill that authorizes courts to evaluate criminals for alcohol and drug dependency and then order them into treatment. When this bill was on the floor, the members discovered a fiscal impact statement that raised two concerns. First, that the Department of Corrections would have to kick prisoners out of programs they are currently in to make room for new inmates. And second, that a defendant could have probation revoked if the defendant couldn't pay for the treatment that the defendant was entered into. Representatives Mannix and Bauman worked out some language emphasizing that a defendant would only get put into treatment if there was money available for that program, which ameliorated these two problems. It would be appropriate to move the A2 amendments.
Thank you, Council. Representative Edmondson?
Move the A2 amendments.
Representative Edmondson moves the A2 amendments, House Bill 2586. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bill is amended.
The bill is amended.
Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2586 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 2586.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Clark?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Mazzari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2586 passed to the floor. Representative Bauman, would you please carry
Thank
that
you.
Bill?
Thank you. Second time's the charm, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Close work session, House Bill 2586. Open a work session, House Bill 2802. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill was introduced at the request of Representative Minnis. What it does is provide that canceled checks drawn on the account of an obligor, a person who has a support obligation, which is marked as payment as child support and endorsed by the obligee, the person receiving it, or deposited to their account, is sufficient evidence to establish payment of the support obligation. The intent of the bill is to minimize disputes over support which has, in fact, or not, in fact, been paid.
Thank you, Council. There are amendments.
There are dash one amendments that the committee is advised to adopt.
Thank you. Representative Edmondson
moves the
dash one amendments, House Bill 2802. Discussion? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Edmondson. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2802 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 2802.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Maddox?
Aye.
Representative Park?
Aye.
Representative Sedari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2802 is passed to the floor. Representative Minnis slash...
Another assist, Mr. Chairman.
Edmondson will be asked to carry the bill. Thank you very much. Closed work session on House Bill 2802. Open a work session on House Bill 2721. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2721 has two separate provisions affecting civil liability in it. The first one allows custodial parents to be held liable for monetary damages for property caused by the reckless acts of their children and increases the cap on monetary damages that may be paid. The second civil liability provision has to do with public access to private lands and expands the current statute to deal with bodies of water and water courses. There are Dash 1 amendments that need to be adopted.
Thank you very much, Council. Representative Edmondson moves the Dash 1 amendments, House Bill 2721. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further discussion on the bill's amendment. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2721 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
Just very interesting to note, I got a visit from a reporter this morning for Channel 8. There is apparently a very interesting story breaking today out of Eugene regarding a 16-year-old young man who videotaped his own sexual activity with his girlfriend and then showed the videotape around. He and his family are being sued substantially right now by the girl's family. And the question is this exact statute, whether or not the $5,000, perhaps now $10,000 limit can be very statute is the one that's at risk.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Further discussion?
Current events.
Hearing none, the clerk call the roll. House Bill 2721.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Maddox?
Here, aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Sedari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 2721 is passed to the floor. Representative Maddox, please carry that bill. Thank you very much. Closed work session. House Bill 2721. Open work session. Senate Bill 426. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 426 mostly makes technical corrections to the 1989 Nonprofit Corporation Act. The major policy decision is one that authorizes public benefit and religious corporations to loan money to prospective officers or directors as part of a recruitment package. The first few times that this bill was in front of the subcommittee, nobody from a nonprofit corporation came and told the committee why it was necessary to have such a loan provision in the statute. However, we did finally have the president of Willamette University explain that such a provision is very helpful in attracting qualified administrators, particularly from out of state. So the committee put the loan provision back in that it had originally taken out. You'd need to move the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you, Council.
Dash two.
Representative Edmondson, Dash 2, moves Dash 2 amendments, Senate Bill 426. Discussion of the amendments. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Edmondson? Representative Edmondson moves Senate Bill 426 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call the roll. Senate Bill 426.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Maddox?
Aye.
Representative Park?
Aye.
Representative Sedari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 426 passed the floor. Representative Clark, WG, will be asked to carry that bill.
Mr. Chair, I know a lot about nonprofit corporations.
You're probably the most nonprofit person here, so we appreciate that. Close the work session. Senate Bill 426. Open a work session. Senate Bill 372. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 372 is a bill from the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association that the subcommittee actually liked. currently, the district attorney gives drunk drivers involved in an accident information about the crime. And victim, however, doesn't get that information until one of two things happens. Either the criminal case is over or the victim can extract it from the defendant in a civil case. This bill would be very helpful to victims. It would cut down on their litigation costs in case they want to sue the drunk driver. There's still a provision in the bill that allows the district attorney to condition the release of this information to protect the underlying criminal case and the committee would need to move the A3 amendments.
Thank you, counsel.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Baumann.
A3 amendments.
Representative Baumann moves the A3 amendments, Senate Bill 372. Is there a discussion of the amendment? Is there objection to its adoption? Hearing none, it is adopted. Representative
Move the
Baumann.
Bill as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation.
Representative Baumann moves Senate Bill 372 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk call the roll. Senate Bill 372.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cesari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 372 passed the floor. Representative Bell?
Yes.
Please carry the bill. Thank you very much. Close work session. Senate Bill 372.
Hope. Oh. Representative Baumann.
Yes,
Chair.
Yes, Representative Baumann.
Baker City. Oh, I'm glad you got to
Baker City. Well, have one of those chips on us.
Buffalo chips.
Yes. Open the work session, House Bill 2935. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2935 was introduced at the request of Representative Barnes. It came to the committee as a sweeping reform of the juvenile remand laws. The committee worked the bill and changed it somewhat. The remaining provisions would allow a person who's remanded on juvenile cases into adult court to have all charges tried at the same time and to allow the court to enter a permanent remand order unless in a subsequent case the court specifically finds reason to send the case back to juvenile court.
Thank you. And the dash ones are
dash
available
one
for our consideration. Yes. Representative Edmondson moves the dash one amendments, House Bill 2935. Discussion. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. Further motion on the bills? Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 2935 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk call the roll. House Bill 2935.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bart?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Park?
Aye.
Representative Cesari?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye.
House.
Representative Bell?
I'm sorry, I was trying to form this question while you were talking. On the material that we got today, the second sheet from the back, it talks about a $600,000
Representative Bell,
possible.
That's the old bill, not the new one.
This was on today's material.
Oh, really?
It's an old fiscal.
Oh.
I thought she was volunteering to carry the bill.
She may get it if she keeps
well,
this
no,
up.
Well, no, Representative Barnes and I are carrying it. He's carrying it, and I'm helping
It's on
carry
both,
it.
The old sheet and the new sheet still.
What's the date on the fiscal that you're looking at?
They weren't
at?
Paying enough attention.
Because I don't have it.
Most
that's
unusual
a different
procedure.
Form. Oh, that's the old one, and that should not, you can throw that away. I apologize, it should not be
we gutted the bill so it has no fiscal impact.
Okay.
No, she's looking at the one provided by the State Court Administrator's Office on the original bill.
I voted aye.
No, and the one that came in today's packet.
Thank you.
Correct, that's an inaccurate one. That wasn't based on the original bill.
Okay.
Everything's all right?
Absolutely.
Representative
House Bill 2935 passed to the floor. Representative Tag Team, Barnes and Mannix. Thank you very much. Close work session, House Bill 2935. Open work session, House Bill 3111. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in the juvenile code, the grounds for juvenile court, for obtaining juvenile court jurisdiction are rather general in nature. What this bill does is create a specific ground for juvenile court jurisdiction in addition to the more general ones, which will allow a juvenile court to assert jurisdiction over a child whose well-being has been impaired by the child's use of controlled substances or chronic abuse of alcohol. There are dash one amendments.
Thank you, Council. Representative Edmondson moves the dash one amendments, House Bill 3111. Discussion of the amendments. Objection to their adoption. Hearing none, they are adopted. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 3111 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 3111.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Cesari?
Aye. Votes aye. House Bill 3111 passes the floor. Representative Mannix, please carry this bill. Thank you very much. Close work session, House Bill 3111. Open a work session, House Bill 2667. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 2667 has been euphemistically called gotten stuffed. The original provisions were removed in their entirety, and the committee adopted amendments which adds employees of drug and alcohol treatment programs to the list of mandatory reporters of child abuse. In 1986, Congress changed federal statutes to allow child abuse reporting according to state law. However, Oregon's law was never amended to reflect this change.
Thank you, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir.
Representative Mannix.
Move the dash one amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the dash one amendments, House Bill 2667. Discussion. Is there objection to their adoption?
Wait a minute. They were adopted by the subcommittee. So
thank you. I appreciate your trying to reincorporate them once again.
Move the bill as amended.
Representative Mannix withdraws the amendment motion. Objection to that? Hearing none. Representative Mannix now moves House Bill 2667 as amended to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Excuse me. Representative Johnson.
Could somebody on the family sub explain very briefly what burden we're putting on the people that just what the process is here exactly just for the record?
Representative Edmondson?
Well, I think that the drug and alcohol abuse staff we thought were basically, well, it was an omission. It probably should have been included in the original list.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix?
The only reason they were excluded in the earlier law was because of the federal restrictions. Once the federal restrictions were dropped, we could have put them back on the list. It hasn't been done. It was pointed out to us during testimony on other legislation that it would be appropriate to bring them back onto the list. And apparently drug and alcohol treatment counselors are interested in being able to report instances of abuse that come to their attention, but are afraid that they cannot do so because they're not covered by the statute that requires them to do so. Some of them do so anyway because they're not prohibited from reporting it. This would make it clear that they do have an obligation, just as are other people who are heavily involved in dealing with youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Johnson? Fine?
That's what I wanted to hear.
Thank you very much. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 2667. Oh, I'm sorry. Just a second. Representative Bell?
I was just going to ask, do they automatically change the summary when you do that?
The A engrossed will be different.
Okay.
Yes. It'll look like
they'll vote aye.
Well, okay. Clerk, call roll. House Bill 2667.
Don't let him have the same as the number.
Aye.
Relating clause.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Vote aye. House Bill 2667 passed to the floor. Representative Mannix, please carry that bill. Thank you very much. Close work session, House Bill 2667. Open a work session, House Bill 3456. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the juvenile court proceedings are generally ruled by the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure or unicourt trial court rules. However, juvenile delinquency proceedings are held very much like adult criminal proceedings. What this bill does is apply the rules of criminal procedure to adult delinquency proceedings so that the expectations and the exchange of evidence is the same in both adult criminal and adult juvenile hearings.
Thank you, counsel. This one's ready to go. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Move the bill.
Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 3456 to the floor. Do pass the recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll. House Bill 3456.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Benson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative
Perry?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3456 passed to the floor. Representative Bauman will be asked to carry this bill. Close work session, House Bill 3456. Open a work session, House Bill 3493. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, those individuals who are allowed into a grand jury proceeding are set by statute. It's limited to the district attorney, a witness, and for a child under 12, a person allowed by the court to accompany that child under 12. What this bill does is allow a person with mental retardation, upon a motion of a district attorney, to also be accompanied into a grand jury proceeding. The testimony provided by the Malheur County district attorney was that there are many more victims of crime who have mental retardation, and to extend this courtesy to them would be appropriate and would facilitate the process.
Thank you, Council. Representative Edmondson moves House Bill 3493 to the floor. Do pass the recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk, call roll. House Bill 3493.
Representative
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Maddox?
Aye.
Representative Park?
Aye.
Representative Perry?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. House Bill 3493 passed the floor. Representative Sunseri, be asked to carry this bill. Thank you very much. Closed work session, House Bill 3493. Open work session, House Bill 3224. A little learned.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3224 is Parks Property Bill. Representative Parks introduced this bill, and what it does is designate enhanced earning capacity acquired during the marriage as property for the purposes of the division of property in a marital dissolution. Enhanced earning capacity is already used to determine spousal support. That concept is applied under the provisions of this bill, would be applied to property dissolutions as well, or marital distributions as well.
Thank you.
We have a contest naming this one like we did in one other bill.
That'll be next week.
Ah. Thank you, Council. Representative Parks, the dash twos?
The dash twos.
I move the dash twos.
Thank you. Representative Parks moves the dash two amendments, House Bill 3224. Discussion on the proposed amendment. Objection to its adoption? Representative? Thank you. No objection. The amendments are adopted. Further discussion on the bill as amended. Representative Johnson?
Representative Parks, I don't practice divorce law. What exactly is the reason and the need for this whole thing?
Representative Parks.
The way the law presently stands is that this only affects a very limited number of cases where there's a marriage of a long duration, and during the course of the marriage, some type of enhanced earning capacity was acquired. It would generally affect lawyers, judges, doctors, architects, people like that that take a certificate that has a value economically, and through the joint efforts of the parties enhance it during the marriage. And this says that that is an item of property to be considered by the judge in the dissolution proceeding.
The question is this, is once you...
Representative Johnson.
Once you make that certificate an item of property to be divided, do you then arrange a commensurate reduction in the amount of spousal support that might otherwise have been given to this other spouse?
Yeah, the concept is that it's divided on the basis of something earned jointly, and that necessarily reduces the need for spousal support. Just one of the criteria of spousal support is the need of the party that receives the support.
Why can't we just leave it as spousal support? I mean, why can't the judge just take into account the certificate holder's future earnings in determining the amount of spousal support the other spouse should get?
Because as the matter now stands, they don't do that. The most glaring examples of that are in the cases of judges, frankly. And Judge Roth and Judge Richardson have leading cases where that has not occurred. It doesn't occur because of the rationale that perhaps a Supreme Court judge might be defeated for re-election, and that he would not continue to have that earning capacity that he's already demonstrated to have. In many other cases, and I just use Representative Mannix as an example. I don't know very much about his practice, but his practice is a multi-person practice. It would probably have some goodwill value in the context for marital dissolution purposes, whereas on the other hand, if he was doing exactly the same thing as an employee, it would not have goodwill purposes for evaluation in a marriage, even though he'd probably earn the same amount of money by himself or working for some other firm. In that case, the Oregon court has held that for purposes of dissolution, the amount of money that he receives as an employee is not attributable to his enhanced earning capacity. And that's what this bill is designed to ensure, that judges do consider that and it does not set a precise formula. It's a case-by-case determination.
Representative Parks, current law provides that in making a support order, court shall consider the following: length of marriage, age, mental health, physical health, parties, and then a sentence says the earning capacity of each party, including educational background, training, employment skills, and work experience. Just, I guess, what does this add to that consideration by a court?
That the language you read appears in the part dealing with spousal support.
Uh-huh.
Spousal support is a mixed concept. It's a concept mostly in Oregon of a demonstrated need based upon, and those are the considerations on which you demonstrate the need. And it's the earning potential of the, or the earning potential of the people at the time of the divorce as projected by the court, contrasted with their needs. This bill changes for a very limited number of people.
It's really a good idea.
The concept, and says that it's based upon what they have accumulated together that needs to be divided. And if one of those things that they've accumulated together is a demonstrated earnings, not a potential earning capacity, but demonstrated earnings, then that is an asset that has some value that the judge should consider. If in considering the asset in the case of a lawyer and said that it's demonstrated that that asset has a value that he should attribute some money to, he can do it any way, a variety of ways, maybe the house solely to the wife. And if that does happen in that process, then the part that you read probably would not be applicable because the need for spousal support would have been reduced by a corresponding amount.
Thank you very much. Further questions,
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Johnson.
First off, does it say anywhere in here that what you just said will happen, that the amount of support will be reduced by a corresponding amount?
I'm not sure if he's... Do you want me to answer, or were you listening to her? The law in Oregon clearly is, through virtually hundreds of cases, that spousal support is only appropriate based upon a showing of need.
Mr. Chairman?
A second. Representative Johnson, are you...
Well, I guess the first line of concern is whether or not we're given double value to the same thing.
On that point, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
And I think my answer is, well, I know my answer. I don't know if it will satisfy you, but my answer is no, we are not. We are allowing similar things to be considered in two different contexts. We're first saying that in establishing whether or not spousal support is appropriate at all, we need to take a look at a host of factors, one of which is earning power of the parties. Another is contribution by one spouse and the other to education. That's a factor to be considered, but it doesn't jerk up or jerk down the spousal support by any automatic factor. It's something you need to be aware of. On the second side of it, though, we are saying that the value of and the income from enhanced earning capacity is something you consider in determining any property distribution. And again, it is a factor that's appropriate. We're saying that earning capacity is something of a property value. And I think, Representative Parks, you actually did a good job in mentioning my firm, for instance. I may have 11 people, but I own the firm, and that firm has a goodwill value to it. That's really a reflection of my enhanced earning capacity.
That's kind of an assumption, isn't it?
Thanks a lot. For rhetorical purposes. But you know, right now, if I were engaged in a dissolution of marriage, it would be arguable that all of that is just enhanced earning capacity and shouldn't be considered in property distribution. It might only be considered in terms of spousal support. This bill simply says the judge should be looking at that value as part of property distribution also.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman, where is where is the phrase enhanced earning capacity defined?
In case law.
Yeah, I could give you the case.
Well, I guess I'd suggest that, if it's in case law, it can be redefined by case law any time they want, unless we define it here. And if there's a specific definition in case law that you think is great, then we ought to stick it in here in words so we know what it is.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah.
Move Final it. Question, Representative Johnson?
Well, through the bill, if you want to give me an opportunity to do that, on top of page 2, we've reinstated the language at lines 2 and 3 that says that for spousal support considerations, the contribution by one spouse to the education, training, and earning power of the other spouse shall be considered. Also, in that area, in lines 4 and 5, we have for spousal support, the earning capacity of each party, including educational background, training, et cetera, shall be considered. And yet, now over here, we're taking those same exact two factors and putting them in at lines 23 and 24 on page 3 and calling them property. So the thing's going to be counted twice. The person's going to get double payment.